Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, America, and good morning, world. Good morning, America, and good morning, world. I hope everybody is well and blessed, doing the best they can in their current situations, and they're placing this great blue marble we call planet Earth. Hold on. Hang on. Change is coming. Change is definitely and certainly coming. And at the essence of it all is the evolution of intelligence. The evolution of human intelligence. I'm going to probably get into that particular segment sometime in the very, very near future, because at the root of all of this chaos and disorder is a lack of human intelligence. And I'm not necessarily talking about scientific intelligence or mathematical intelligence or things of that nature, but it's a spiritual intelligence that is lacking. And just basically a human, you know, intelligence in regards to civilization, being civil human being. And like I said, we're going to get more heavily into that as in the very, very near future. But right now, the name of this broadcast is Republican Obstructionism. Republican Obstructionism. Like I said, I hate to really pick sides in the political arena. I normally like to stay more apolitical and not pick, you know, really any side, but, you know, gather the best and the benefits of either party. But, you know, it's kind of amazing the actions that are taking place, you know, right now, and it's pretty clear and evident to those who have open minds and open eyes and ears, for that matter, that will be able to understand the evolution of one world ism or one world order. And that's what's definitely in play right now. Like I said, you could simply look up Daniel, look in the book in the KJV in the Bible, and look under Daniel 7 and verse 3, talking about the eagle and the bear coming together. And like I said before in my earlier broadcast, just Google, you know, the flag of Russia, you know, Federation flag as it is of today, and look at the old flag of Russia and see how it's dramatically changed. They could have picked any colors on the planet in the color palette or spectrum, but they chose red, white, and blue. Three lines that are basically horizontal and equal parts. There's a direct meaning and a reason for that to take place. All this stuff is taking place in Syria and the Middle East and the creation of ISIS and Islamic State and all that kind of stuff. You have to have a common enemy or a common boogeyman, if you will, to bring together what you would call a coalition, a military coalition, which is the first steps into having a overall coalition of countries such as the United States and Russia. It's no mistake for Mr. Trump to stand up there and tout to the American people, wouldn't it be nice for the United States and Russia to get along? That's a game plan, folks. That is the actual game plan right there. And like I said, you have to get the people of his audience, the mindset and the mentality of the people that would have attend Mr. Trump's rally to buy into the possibility, the probability, the reality of a joining of the eagle and the bear to get them to buy into it first, because they would be the ones that would oppose it the most aggressively. Had Mr. Obama brought something like this to the forum, to the table, to the audience, he'd have been probably booed off stage. Well, maybe not in a Democratic arena, but certainly in the eyes of those people that would be, let's just put it like this. If Mr. Trump was to walk off stage and Mr. Obama was to walk on stage right there at that particular rally and said the same thing that Mr. Trump said in regards to wouldn't it be nice for the United States and Russia to get along, he'd have been booed off stage, considered treasonous or anti-American communist and an outlaw. They would have probably been trying to do like they do in New York City, get a rope. You know, that commercial. You know, New York City, get a rope. That would have been probably about what it all boiled down to. But anyhow, it's just interesting, and what I do with this broadcast is try to open the eyes and the minds of human beings, you know, the human people around the globe, around the world, because, you know, what they show us in the news and the media is simply what they want us to hear, see, and believe. But the majority of activity that they all collectively are in part of taking place is happening behind the scenes. It's certainly happening behind the scenes. And when you've been blessed with an intuitive and a discerning spirit, it is your job and responsibility to share this information with the world. Now, given it may not be 100% accurate, that's okay. But at least it's an eye-opener. It's like, you know, like the old reporter says, I report and you decide. So that's kind of a big thing there. Today is August the 14th in the year 2016. And like I said, the name of the broadcast is Republican Obstructionism. Folks, this is what's been taking place for a long time, for a long, 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 long time. And you know, amazingly enough, both parties have their purpose in the world economy and the, you know, in the aspect of economics, because the economy as we know it cannot ebb all the time, and it cannot flow all the time. You know, it has to kind of offset one another, if you will. But I think through the evolution of our intelligence that we can actually create a sustaining economy to where it is consistent and it doesn't vary as much. But it has to do with, you know, truthfulness and honor, respect, you know, righteousness is really at the main center, you know, of having a consistent economy, a consistent flowing economy. It can be achieved. But like I said, it takes an evolution of intelligence for that to be done. I know how it can be done, certainly, but we'll speak on that a little bit more, but it's something that we will evolve to, because if you look at futuristic shows, there is this one government, or one ruling body, or one ruling people, and everything is kind of like, you know, in the playing field under that particular ruling party. Just like you look at that, the movie The Mockingbird, The Mockingjay, what do they call it? If I don't have it written down before, it's old age coming in, folks. You know, but I'll think about it. Oh, The Hunger Games. You know, stuff like that, you know. It's interesting how art kind of imitates life and imitates art. But anyhow, today, now they're talking about, you know, let's get into a little bit of political discussion, since this is what this was headlined about. But they're talking about the Clinton Foundation and State Department emails. And it's amazing how they're just picking up, you know, trying to dig up any little thing, you know, to create a, agitation or excitement or sensationalization in the media, you know. And amazingly enough, I want to give Donald Trump some credit here in regards to pointing out the media, you know, in his last speech. You know, he said, I'm not really, you know, fighting against, you know, and this is, again, folks, listen to what he's saying here. Kind of draws it all in and kind of draws it all together. He says, I'm not fighting against the Democrats. Hello? I'm fighting against the media. So now let's see which way this campaign goes. Let's see if it's Trump versus the media, and we kind of leave Hillary, you know, kind of let her do her own thing, because really, you know, Hillary's already won. You know, hands down, she's already won. So they just kind of figure out how to draw this thing out. And I think you're going to probably start hearing more about, I heard something, as a matter of fact, on Fox News today, and I can't remember exactly who was saying, I should have wrote it down, but they alluded to the fact that, you know, it's all about, you know, media coverage and, you know, how the, you know, the media is creating all these different things and, you know, just long-standing battle and, you know, all this kind of stuff, you know, and it's for ratings, it's for their job. You know, as long as they have people coming to watch the news broadcast and stuff, you know, their job is comfortably in place, you know, and like I said, these folks are professionals. It's like a professional baseball player or athlete, you know, or professional, designer, home builder, or car maker, or whatever the case may be. These folks are professionals, you know. So they're skilled at slanting, and they're skilled at, you know, moving around the conversation to create, you know, sensationalization, and to create, you know, a viewing audience, you know, to support and sustain a viewing audience. This is their job, you know, this is what they're trained and practiced to do. So they will ask the, you know, the right questions and create the right, you know, what would I call it? Excitement, I guess you might say, to keep it going, to keep things, you know, when a viewer wants to come back, it's like, stay tuned for, you know, part two, you know, of the argument, you know. But anyhow, I think you understand what I'm saying there. But the emails that they're talking about now, as far as Mrs. Clinton is concerned, I think only involved three people that they can come up with. And they're, you know, trying to, if you listen how they say it, it's about some type of foreign relation, you know, illegal or inappropriate foreign relations or whatever. You know, the foreign relations are two or three guys that are from a foreign country and, you know, about getting some favors and stuff, or just getting a look at a seat, or, you know, being a part in a job, a place in a position where they will not qualify for, or some type of favor or whatever. Folks, this happens. Nobody in the United States, and nobody really nobody on the planet doesn't know of, you know, relationships that, you know, and opportunities that are created as a result of favors. You know, I do it. You know, everybody does. I mean, that's just how it is. You know, if you do something good for somebody, it's like, hey, look, we owe you one. You know, well, let me cash in my favor. You know, my kid needs a job, you know, out here, you know, throwing newspaper. My kids need a job, you know, in the office and stuff, and, you know, he doesn't have any experience or anything like that. Well, you know, bring him on in, you know, let's interview him. I bring him on in and I have some of my people, you know, training, you know, and bring him up to speed, up to par. I mean, if you go to work for, say, for instance, you know, Chick-fil-A or something, you coming in with no background per se in, you know, food handling or maybe the cash register or whatever the case may be, but there's a thing on the application that says references, and give us three references. Well, if you give them three references of currently employed and successfully employed Chick-fil-A team members or employees, there's a great probability that that particular, especially if you know somebody that's in the hiring, you know, force of that, of your son or daughter, you know, getting a job, you know, and then once they get the job, they're trained accordingly and appropriately to handle the responsibilities thereof. There's no difference here, folks. There's no difference here. I mean, yeah, the guy put up a bunch of money or whatever in the campaign and stuff like that. That's his money. He can do with it what he wants. You know, and hey, look, I need a job. I'd like to be a part of such and such and so on and so. Well, let us look into it and see if we can't get you set up with something. And we'll train you accordingly and appropriately, you know, for the position when the time comes. There's nothing really there, folks. And I'm talking, they're not talking tens of thousands or thousands or 500 or 300 or 100, 10, but they're talking about three people and making it in their professionalism. And the way that they're trained and experienced into creating, you know, a mountain out of a molehill, this is what's taking place right here. So, like I said, at the end of the day, if they didn't have these email arguments against Mrs. Clinton, they wouldn't have any arguments against Mrs. Clinton, and it would be a landslide runaway victory for her already in the game right now, which is the margins are truthfully widening. You know, when you look at the demographics, and just like a guy said today, that supports my argument and what I've said all along, you know, so many years ago there was, you know, 5% of minorities, you know, here in America in the voting arena. Then next, you know, few years it was 10%, 15%. Folks, now there's 31%. In the voting arena of minorities in America, and soon to be 40. And, you know, when all of that comes to pass and shakes out, and when Mr. Obama goes on to his campaign of voting in the midterms, it's going to fade out the Republican Party, all by design to have a one government or one policy or party government here in America in order for the one world order or one world government to be put in place or to come to light or to fruition as it is scripturally described. The largest and the most powerful and the most long-standing democracy has to fall first in order for everybody else to follow suit. Russia is basically on board by the red, white, and blue flag and the coalition in the Middle East and all this other kind of stuff. Once they come on board, pretty much it's a done deal because these are the two world superpowers that have merged together under one power, one superpower. And it would be, you know, wise, I guess, and in the economic sense of things in order to do business and to have global trade activities and involvement for the other powers and superpowers, you know, such as China and India and Iran and so forth and so on, to come on board, to join on board, because we will be able. And again, this is the evolution of intelligence into oneism, you know, and to being able to support our trade relationships, you know, with nations around the world, you know, and have it a true global environment. This is what, you know, intelligence does, you know, even in the terms of e-commerce and, you know, being able to trade around the world instantaneously, you know, and simultaneously. You know, this is done by the increase of our human evolution, our intelligence, intellectual evolution. So anyhow, that's what those emails boil down to. Nothing there, folks. I mean, it really isn't. If you look at the essence of it all, I think it's really something that Julian Assange comes on and tries to really hold the United States hostage about. You know, we got these emails, and we got some more that's going to come out. We're going to leak out, you know, in increments, you know, to keep, you know, excitement in the media and all that kind of foolishness and nonsense, you know, and when there's really nothing there. If they have something, it already been put out. You know, they truly had something that they already been put out. So there's really nothing there but the, you know, excitement and energy that goes around some type of mysterious or mystique type of espionage or some type of, you know, involved. Just like a good, you know, just like a good show, you know, espionage type show. So a lot of people watch it, you know, some people rate it, you know, like it sucks. And some people like, okay, this is really good. You know, that's basically what it all boils down to. Let's see. Mr. Trump said some really crazy things this weekend, talking about Obama and Clinton founded ISIS. That's an interesting type of thing that he said there, because they didn't found ISIS, but they watched it. They watched it come to fruition. They watched it come to you know, kind of to come to light or to come into existence. But you know, they say that, you know, it's a failed effort from Mr. Obama as the president there in Iraq that, you know, created ISIS. But actually, and I praise Claire McCaskill today on Fox News, you know, for bringing this out. And we need to stand on this. This needs to come forward and be, you know, put forward in the media. We're going to see how, you know, truthful and forthcoming, you know, the media is from this point in this particular subject, because it does revolve around the SOFA agreement. And you can simply Google the SOFA agreement. And let's see here. It is the Status of Forces Agreement. It's called the Status of Forces Agreement, or SOFA. And it's it says an agreement of the United States of America and the Republic of Iraq on the withdrawal of the United States forces from Iraq and the organization of their activities during their temporary presence in Iraq. And it was a Status of Forces Agreement called SOFA between Iraq and the United States, signed by President George W. Bush in 2008. And it established the U.S. combat forces would withdraw from Iraq cities by June 30th of 2009, so roughly a year or something later, and all U.S. combat forces will be completely out of Iraq by December 31st of the year 2011. Okay, the pact required criminal charges for holding prisoners over 24 hours, required a warrant for searches and all, and you can go ahead and read that. And the agreement expired on December 31st of 2011. All right, now, even though the final withdrawal took place on December, completes its final withdrawal of troops on December 16th of 2011, but anyhow, you know, and that was when Obama was already in presidency and stuff, so he honored a pre-standing, pre-arranged and pre-agreed, you know, agreement by between George W. Bush and Iraq. He did this to complete an honorable agreement or in honor of a freestanding agreement. So Mr. Obama didn't have anything to do with a weakness in the Middle East, you know, as it pertains to Iraq. And, you know, quite factually, you know, that was the start of all the activity basically in Iraq, and our really strong and direct involvement, you know, was the weapon of mass destruction, or WMDs, and them not being there, but creating an environment for us to go into Iraq to overthrow Saddam Hussein and the government there in place. And like I said, folks, this all has a benefactor, a benefit, you know, in the long run of things, you know, in terms of nation building. You know, again, you know, the vice president for George W. Bush was Dick Cheney, and he is direct part owner or founder or key component to the Halliburton organization, and they're nation builders. So that's what they're trying to do, is clear the way so they can go in there and make money and bring, you know, liberation to the people of Middle East and Africa, and it's long overdue. I mean, you know, those people, like I said, they strategically made a move a long time ago with the little Tom computers to show, you know, one kid in America bought the computer. Two kids were given the computers, the little green computers there in Africa and the Middle East. And when they connected them to the internet, the children there and the parents of the children, you know, they seen how we lived here in the West, you know, the Western civilization, you know, the running water, flushing toilets, and, you know, being able to pull up to a drive-thru to get food. Folks, that's mind-blowing to people that have to, you know, go to a river and put their bucket in the water, and there's livestock, you know, up the stream, and they're getting all these dysentery and all these different, you know, parasites and stuff in their bodies and stuff, and, you know, don't have, you know, running toilets and different things like that. You know, now, why they don't have those things is a little mind-boggling to me. You know, that is something that is something I really can't put my finger on, that people have been on the planet much, much longer than the people here in the Western civilization, or, you know, because the Caucasian man is about 40,000 years old, folks. You know, do the research yourself on the Grimaldi skull and on the Cro-Magnon skull, you know, and their age date, their carbon date, their dating, you know, in terms of their dates of existence, you know, on this planet, and you'll find that the Cro-Magnon skull is only about 40,000 years old, and the Grimaldi skull is several million years old. Yet and still, in today's current times, we have people, you know, in the Middle East and Africa that still have not advanced or evolved industrially. It's something that, you know, like I say, it points right back to, you know, the human intellect in terms of, you know, progressive evolution. And it's the difference, you know, it's the difference of, you know, how we live here in the West and how they live there in, you know, Middle East and Africa. And, you know, we got to help them. You know, we have to get to a point where we can reach out, because for some reason or another, some, you know, act of whatever, you know, of our creator, you know, it's that distance between the two. It's kind of described in the Bible when they talk about Esau and Jacob, or Jacob and Esau. Jacob was kind of a laid back type of lad or person, child, son, very smooth skin. You know, he was definitely darker of the two brothers, and he was a homebody. You know, he made pottery and cooked and stayed around the house and kind of just chilled. I mean, kind of similar to what African Americans are today. You know, that same mindset and mentality, and just keeping it real. But then you have, you know, his brother, you know, Esau. He was a hunter, and quite coincidentally, he went out and hunted, you know, venison. What do white people do today? You know, white brothers, they go out there, deer hunters, they hunt, you know, and they, you know, are industrious, you know, and build and different things like that. Even though that argument is countered by some of the greatest builders on the earth were, you know, the Egyptians, you know, back in the day of Musa and, you know, and people of that nature that were great builders. So anyhow, that's kind of that there, and I kind of got a little off track, but I normally do. But anyhow, that kind of explains, you know, what's really going on there in the Middle East in regards to moving out, you know, the SOFA agreement and things of that nature. That's the problem there. And what created the actual vacuum. It says, I got 60 seconds to love one another. Take care of one another. It's the right thing to do. It's what God wants to do something because God is love. And I'm going to keep talking. Now, it was interesting also that Tom Coleman, he's a Republican, former senator or something there in Missouri, and he said Trump is, let's see, what did he say? Trump is, he is emotionally and mentally unfit to be president. Now, Tom Coleman said that, and that's a pretty heavy charge, but he's definitely on point there. And they're wanting to move the money, you know, because there's a lot of money that Trump has put together, and if you're not careful and don't keep an eye on it, that money's going to disappear, and he's going to run away with it. He's going to have it. Be like that little leprechaun running down the road with a pot full of gold, you know, kicking his little heels up and laughing and giggling all the way to his little tree hut, you know. So you better keep an eye on him on that deal, because he's not really concerned about winning the presidency. And you're going to see it kind of switch over and change, you know, in the days to come, and he's basically going to hand it to Hillary. But like I said, his objective or his motivation was to go over and disrupt and destroy. Remember, one of my first broadcasts regarding Mr. Trump was called Trump the Destroyer. Trump the Destroyer. And that's what his objective was and is to destroy the Republican Party, you know, as we know it, and it will never be the same. And after this, like I said, Mr. Obama's going to come out and talk about midterm elections and midterm vote and how critical and how crucial and how important it is. You're going to see record numbers coming out to vote in the midterms. And because of the demographics of the United States, it will go into the direction of the Democratic Party. All right, the game changer. Obama to increase midterm elections. Okay, that was my next topic. In suburban Pennsylvania, 52-26, Mr. Trump is being trounced, you know, being just stomped, you know, in the suburban areas of Pennsylvania. When that falls, folks, see, in a margin such as this wide, at this particular is double. At this particular, you know, point in the game, because we're, you know, tomorrow will be the 15th of August, which effectively takes us into September. There's really no, you know, normal or natural way for Mr. Trump to close this gap and to overcome Mrs. Clinton, you know, in that particular area, in that particular state. And that right there is that right there kind of describes the winner and loser of campaign. Samir Kanish, the other day, there was a list of 10 things that Mr. Trump has insults, a list of 10 insults that Mr. Trump has said. Now, when I look this up, and you can do this for yourself, just type in Donald Trump, list of insults, list of insults, and it'll come up, and it says 250 people and places and things Donald Trump is in. So 250 folks in his time of candidacy. You know, this is amazing. This is so unpresidential. This is, you know, what kind of president we're going to have? Somebody that stands up there and gives insults. No policies, no procedures, no, you know, benefits or no aid or suggestion to bettering, you know, the American people, as he would quote it, or they would say, or the United States of America. That's not going to work. Simply not going to work. Not presidential. You're going to see a lot of shifting in the Republican Party. And the money is going to be one of the main things. That's where the real fallout is going to take place. The fire is going to burn brightly because it's going to be, you know, a fight over the money. Mr. Trump's real good at fighting over money, and the establishment is real good at fighting over money, so we're going to see a real good fight, you know, in the Republican Party in that regard in the days to come. Says the slowest recovery since the Great Depression, Mr. Obama is in charge of the slowest recovery in the United States since the Great Depression. Well, if you remember correctly, on the day that Mr. Obama was elected into the office of the President of the United States of America, POTUS, Mitch McConnell stood there and said, you know, our objective is to stop him. And, folks, that's exactly what they have done. If Ms. McConnell stand up there and say it from day one, don't you think it's policy? This is why this broadcast is called Republican Obstructionism. They have stopped Mr. Obama on a number of great policies, a number of great projects that would have stimulated this country, you know, 10 times over at least. And for them to do this, you know, because of pure dislike, perhaps of a man of color, a black man being the president of the United States, primarily and secondarily because of his political affiliation with the Democratic Party, for the sake of politics and this kind of, you know, hatred, they've stopped and stunted the growth of the American economy and allowed a lot of people to suffer as a result of their selfish and narrow-minded and immature mentalities and ways of thinking. And that's where the blame should be placed, at the feet of the obstructioners or the obstructionists, not at a progressive, not at a president that truly wants and desires a better future for his children and yours, mine, and ours. So we have to put the blame where it is deserving. Okay, we talked about the new emails, and thank God for Claire McCaskill. And as far as al-Assad is concerned, as they focus on Syria, remember, POTUS, the President of the United States, Mr. Obama, he wanted to hit al-Assad right off the bat with 40 missiles. He said, just give me 40 missiles. I got him in my crosshairs, quote unquote, and I just need 40 missiles to get him at this point in time, and they stopped him from doing it. They stopped him, obstructed him from doing that, and al-Assad still lives today, creating, you know, havoc over there in the Middle East. But he will come, he will be brought on board, he will be dealt with, and he will be, you know, removed, and a new leader will be, you know, put in his place in due time, and they have to, and I think that they're doing it, you know, in a just way, but in an appropriate way, I should say, because you just can't leave chaos. Libya is kind of messy. You know, they're having to go back and hit it again, you know, airstrikes and all this other kind of stuff, you know, because they did leave a vacuum there. And it's because, you know, we haven't been able to progress. You know, again, the right wing is stopping us from, you know, doing developments and moving forward with, you know, the reconstruction of the Middle East. You know, the sooner we can get to that, you know, the better it is for everybody. I mean, that's jobs for America. I mean, can you imagine having to create all the stuff that goes around building nations and building America again? You know, you can look at it in essence like building America again. That's a lot of jobs, folks. That's a lot of outsourcing. That's a lot of export, you know, and all that kind of stuff, you know. And you know, it's all about, I guess it all boils about down to money at the end of the day. And longevity in terms of employment and the American economy. So we have to get these things in place and get it moving, get it rolling, get behind it. This is what Mr. Trump is doing. This is what Mrs. Clinton is doing. This is what the world is actually, the leaders of the world is actually doing in kind of a, you know, in kind of a roundabout way. But it is inevitable because it truly is written. And in closing, Hillary has Mr. Trump by the cojones. You know, she's got the Trump card, and it's called taxes, his taxes. That's something that must be something there, because if the person doesn't have anything to hide, guess what? He'd be forthcoming with it. He's fighting like heck not to release those taxes, release his taxes. There's something in there about him that exposes the real Donald Trump. And I think it's going to be so damaging that it would knock him clean out of the race and, I don't know, maybe out of the United States. But anyhow, that's my broadcast for today. We want to see those taxes, Mr. Trump. You know, ante up. You know, you talk about all this stuff, you know, about crooked Hillary and all this other kind of stuff. You know, when they say you're pointing one finger at somebody else, you got three pointing right back at yourself. So this be the case. All right, that's my broadcast for today. Until we meet again, love one another. Take care of one another. It's the right thing to do. It's what God wants us to do. Why? Simply because God is love. Till the next broadcast, take care and so long.